still causes problems.
We had a problem trying to get the thing going.
Payday's on Friday.
What, water runs two directions, right? Downhill to Monday.
You know, engineering is, the philosophies are really simple. Accounting, it's zero to nine. That's all there is in accounting, is zero to nine. Rest of it's kind of immaterial.
85,000 acre feet of water went down that creek and we lost.
He was so good at the office, as soon as we left though, he was like, what, why are we in the car?
Just no place to put it.
Like, we can be at the office where I can see you, or we can be at home.
Right, north part of the valley where we can't get it back, I mean, we could.
He actually just does like puzzles.
We've got other.
Wonder how that'll work.
I wanted to bring it up.
Yeah.
That's a good start.
Yeah, I never thought that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm good, how are you?
So, it's probably not gonna be in every, we're just.
Well.
Clean them.
No.
That project. We've got a lot more water that we need to line up.
Good deal.
I said, about an hour from now, I'll be in some discussion.
Good, that's good.
Yeah, but you get a lot of them.
You gotta save the water.
Roaching birds. You don't see a lot of dirt.
Nice meeting you as well.
Yeah.
A little late.
For.
Yeah.
Can Tracy pray?
What's his name?
Yeah, he can.
Alfred Engineering, Brent Gardner.
We don't bite.
Yeah, we're not biters.
Brent used to do a lot of that.
I will, sir.
We finally.
Winning. Totally.
Pray for me.
You know what, Brent, sure.
I'll go get it.
Okay, we're a little late, let's see, we got a quorum, I guess we do, don't we? Four of us, that's enough, isn't it?
That's enough.
Probably.
Thank you, welcome, we're here, ready, our regular Central Iron County Conservancy District Board meeting, 18th of May. I've asked John if he would lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, and then Tracy will offer an invocation.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our Father in Heaven, we're grateful for this opportunity to be here, and to be a part of this, the Water District. Meet at this meeting to discuss the needs and the concerns of the Water District boundaries, and the future needs, and all of those things that this population will need to function properly and to function with opportunity for those who come to this area. We're grateful, Father, for the opportunity that we have to be here, and we pray that thy spirit might direct and guide the workings within this meeting, and that the needs will be discussed that are on the agenda, and that things will be taken care of in a timely manner, and that we will be able to accomplish the things that are needed here. We love thee and are grateful for thy Son, and we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Justin and Kyle will be here in 15 minutes, or in at a quarter to, so.
Okay, good, so, a couple of our guys will be here in a minute, but we've got enough to move forward now, so let's, first item is a declaration of abstentions or conflict of interest. Any of you three see anything on our agenda that you're worried about, a conflict?
None.
Thank you. All right, next item then is to consider approval of the minutes from the prior board meeting.
I read through them, I'm approval.
Okay.
I'll second that.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, next item then is to approve the payment of bills and adjustments since our last meeting. You want to run through that, Paul, with us?
Yep. So, page one, this was a fuel reimbursement for an excavator that Paul Cousin used over the last couple weekends and during the weekend after hours to build an earth dam to send water over to our recharge project. And he fueled that excavator up from CMSI. And just with the city's fuel, and so we're reimbursing them for that. Page two, there's a solar panel, that's for the recharge project as well. Everything else that's in blue is also for a recharge project. The blue railroad ties, that's what our generator is sitting on. We took the wheels off it so no one else would take off with it, and these guys put it on railroad ties. And then down below, Mel Clark, that was for the rock that's around the intake of the recharge basin there. Everything else is just part of our regular system invoices. And then page five, again, the blue there. That's just for the recharge project as well from Schultz's. That was some of our just some of our piping and plumbing that went from the pumps up to the, or from the pumps to the pipe. Other than that, everything else is a fairly normal month for invoices and checks. And there's the credits on the back page of page eight there, of the credits on the different accounts that we have, but nothing out of the ordinary there. So, any questions on any of those?
No questions, and I'll entertain a motion that we approve those.
I'll make a motion to approve the payables.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Okay, thank you. You got that list, Mandy? Maybe I'll keep that until the other guys get here, okay?
Yeah. Well, they didn't.
They weren't
vote on it. So.
Okay, well.
I'll move forward into the financial report. We spent quite a bit of detail last month on the financial report, and there's really hasn't been a lot of changes, especially on the operational side. We're still maintaining a good pace for the operational side of the budget. We're eclipsing what we had projected for new connections, new impact fees, and we're on pace to eclipse that. If we flip over to the back page, page four of the budget on the capital side, just real briefly there, you can see where we're at in some of our projects. We've got the Coal Creek Recharge Project, where we're at $181,000, and we're still going to be seeing quite a bit more that will run through that. But we just did finish up our application for another $100,000 grant through the Soil Conservation District. And we feel pretty good about it. Talked with Tice Palmer quite a bit, and he's received a lot of support from his agency. And so we feel pretty good about receiving another $100,000 there. They were some of the things we heard back were that they were anticipating that we would be applying for that other $100,000, so almost planning on it. So I guess we'll feel really bad if we don't get it. We'll expect to see more within the water development project as Grimshaw continues to finish out that well. The only thing left on the West Desert actual wells, there's just some contingency. When the BLM goes out and finalizes and says that the property looks good, then we'll pay that last, is it about 5% to Gardner's, Curtis, that's held over?
Yep.
Which one is that? Is that the?
That's just West Desert. The rest of that in there is that's budgeted for that is the environmental and moving forward with our.
Of the 350?
Yeah.
So that's yet to be spent.
Yeah.
We've already paid for all the wells that we did out there, haven't we?
Yeah. And so last year we anticipated that we would be, you know, about $200,000 over budget. And that's because a lot of these projects didn't get completed, like the Grimshaw well and a few other things. So, you know, when we were going through the budget process back in October, we thought that they would, a lot of these projects would be wrapped up, but they've rolled into this next year, and it's likely that this year will probably be over budget around that amount. Last year we cleared, as the auditor said last month, you know, around $500,000. So
and that's just because we didn't spend the money we thought we were going to spend?
Partially, yeah, that, and we had a few more revenues. So we had a lot more revenues from the solar projects than it was anticipated.
You mean tax revenue?
Tax revenue, yeah. And talking with the auditor, that'll come down a little bit this year, but there's still good, you know, a good chunk of revenue that will continue to come in from those solar projects. So,
well, somebody will make some money from those things, isn't it?
Yeah. So, that's all I have on the financial report. Unless there are any questions.
All right, go ahead with the next. Let's see. Next item is the general manager's report. So you go continue, Paul, with your report.
Today, went to the Home Builders Association monthly meeting. Tyler was there, and Paul Cousins gave a presentation on these recharge projects, and he did a good job. There were quite a few questions about the project and also about importing water and the costs and things that way. Paul's done a good job of getting the word out and keeping everybody informed. He's a regular force in the Facebook world, so he's done a good job. And he spent a lot of time, too. He spent hundreds of hours in these projects and has been really instrumental in getting everyone together as far as being able to utilize both the city's crews and the county's crews to help us out when we had that big rainstorm and washed everything out. So.
Yeah, he's been nothing short of heroic.
Yeah.
But what's their disposition, home builders? I mean, they understand where we're coming, I guess. Impact fees and those kinds of things, or is that on the table yet?
They didn't bring any of that up. They just asked how much it was going to cost to get it here.
Yeah. Yeah, those discussions, I guess, really haven't started quite yet with them. I don't know, Spence and Tyler, if you've probably know better than me on any of that.
I'm not aware of any discussions right now.
They haven't even. Yeah. When you guys come and make presentations, that's the only time it's talked about.
Yeah. In addition, I've been in contact with Eric Millis he's the director of water resources. He's a friend of mine from working on the Lake Powell Pipeline project together when I worked for Kane County, and he's now the director there. The Board of Water Resources is where most of the water funding comes from. So I've reached out to him to see if he and his staff would like to come down and tour these recharge projects. They really don't have any money earmarked for anything like this. You know, they kind of have their money earmarked for their different things that they have. Well, there's not a lot of entities or that are putting together recharge projects, even though they're much needed throughout the state. But there's, I think we are creating quite a bit of buzz up in Salt Lake as well. I know the state engineer's office is looking at this very closely and seeing how successful and what we're going to do, and I'm going to try and encourage that way. And get Eric to come down here. I think that we might open some doors to be able to see what kind of funding we can receive from him in the future. I talked to Nathan Moses about the recharge project out west in Quitchapa, about the possibility of connecting the Jones's Pivot directly into that pipeline, so that rather than them pumping from the underground, they just irrigate with that water. And he thought that was a great idea and encouraged by it. So maybe there's some things that way, or they could receive funding from that agency to move forward with that, so that rather than trying to force the water to go into the ground, we just not pump it out of the ground and utilize Coal Creek water. So there's some things that we'll need to continue to look at with that, but I think the state would look on it favorably. So.
Well, we ought to talk about that. The problem is that there's not going to be water out there when he needs the water.
Right. You know, it'll be
maybe
a minimal
do a
use.
Supplemental or something, supplemental yeah. application.
Mm-hmm. When I talked to him, I said, you know, you may not be able to use it when you would really need it, but you know, you may be able to start irrigating in April, early April, and just get your ground saturated and utilize that. That way you've got more moisture in the ground. But I mean, we're going to pump it anyway. So.
Well, if that's what I do this time of year, you know, I'm running Coal Creek water into my system, which I have a pond. I run all this much as it'll take, and I pump from about the 20th of April, and I'm still pumping. And I think I put 12 inches of water on that field. Well, guess how much the crop needs? Maybe two.
You can grow rice.
So I think you need to get the state to help subsidize my water recharge project.
Let's see what we can do. We'll get Eric Mills down here and find out.
Okay, is that all?
Operations. I think it's time that we get a new backhoe. I've looked at a couple of options just through John Deere, and there's probably some other options for used backhoes out there, but just from the one entity that I reached out to, they originally had, at least with government entities, when I worked for Kane County, where it was $900 a year.
It's $5,000. We leased one for Canara last calendar year, and it was $5,000 for the year. But you only put 300 hours on it, and then after the 300 hours, they charge you $15 or $20 an hour, and then any bad bumps and dings and bruises you put on it, you pay for.
Right, and that's now increased from $5,000 to $9,000.
That's with Wheeler's.
That's with John Deere.
Ours was with Century Equipment for Case.
Century.
Oh.
But they're all pretty similar. I don't know. We can reach out to Case and find out, but. The state contract new is $83,000, and you can finance a used one for $88,000. So for five grand more, you can get a used one. Zero percent for 4 years. Or they have a used one for $70,000. Those are some of the options that we have. I think it's pretty imperative. We're gonna need one. To do a lot of maintenance out there on those recharge projects, and we've needed one for a long time. I've talked with Tom, and both of us were very surprised when we came to the district that the district didn't have one and hasn't had one. So
we have a Kubota.
What
step above a shovel?
Yeah, answer this. Answer me this: how much money have we spent hiring backhoes? You have it. Can you?
Number wise.
I mean, do you have a figure on that? We ought to know that.
Well, I mean,
that's not something we do.
You don't hire backhoes?
Well, we hire.
Well,
and you have to.
When we have breaks and things, yeah.
Yeah.
Our system's fairly new, and so we don't have breaks that often. But I mean, the other things we won't be able to do with it. We've got a lot of road maintenance. We also be able to install our own connections now rather than hiring that out if there's a hot shop or something like that. That way,
do you have to hire another employee to run it too, though?
No,
I can do it.
What I'm saying is they're going to escalate just by buying a piece of machinery that we have to buy.
These guys are both operators, they both can operate the backhoe if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, but with everything they have to do, can they have time to run the backhoe while they're got other things to do.
This way, instead of them leaning on a shovel watching the guy do the backhoe, they'd have to do the backhoe.
Well, that's what I'm saying. When we're paying someone to install, are these two guys off doing more important things at the same time, or are they sitting there watching them so they don't hit the lines and bust stuff?
Right.
Yeah.
That's my question.
Yeah, we're there doing. We have to be there to inspect.
Well, then you ought to have it. That's what I was asking.
So. And the other thing too, with the work that we do it with a small Kubota, and just the work they did the other day out of the recharge project. I mean, dealing with a 1 foot bucket to dig out
a thimble. A thimble.
Yeah, you're there half the day, just trying to dig it out before you even get.
Well, that's my only question on it. Just it would be more costly. As we go on, or
more cost that I see is going to be the things that you need to haul it around. So we're going to eventually need a larger truck and a trailer to haul it around. Right now we're anticipating we'll drive it from one end of the county to the other for a little while, but next year I'd like to budget, you know, to get a 3/4 ton or a full ton pickup truck and possibly trailer to haul it. So those would be additional costs.
So are you wanting a motion to buy it, or are we just discussing it?
No, what I'd like to know is there a limit, or is there an idea as far as a cost amount?
Having bought several backhoes through a lifetime, I'm going to tell you that you're better off, or at least it's been my experience, to buy a new one under warranty and make sure, you know, that it's serviced properly by the dealership that you buy it from. Get it with certain things, and I don't need to help John do or these guys spec that, but I would be more than happy to come and test drive it for him. But
next line and break.
Because I can still get in and out of a tractor. I can't operate a foot shovel anymore, but I can still get in a tractor. But I just think the district and the customers served would be better off buying a new one under warranty and having it on hand, so you're not always depending on somebody else. If you do have an emergency, you got to go dig up a water line and fix a water line. I just think it's a better way for the district to go and money well spent.
Yeah, I never buy anything new, so that's out of my league.
And there's something to be said for that, too.
I got an old backhoe that cost me $25,000, and I've had it for 10 years, and I've had very little trouble with it. Anything I need to do.
As my father-in-law would tell me, as long as you got the title for it, an old one makes the same amount of money as a new one.
Well, so, you want us just to shop around and see what we can find?
What's the rest of your board? What do you think? I think you could buy one whale of a backhoe for $40,000.
Not right now. Backhoes are in a huge demand. Backhoes are expensive. Right now, backhoes and water trucks are the two most sought after piece of equipment right now.
Well, let's wait until they're not in such high demand then.
About 5 years.
Can I have a bigger bucket at least?
No. It'll take 5 years for it to run out of money. I'm not guaranteed. I'm going for 3.
You ever bought anything off Richie Brothers?
No. They always want their money right now.
Well, I mean, that gives you an idea of what they're worth, though.
Richie Brothers? Auctioning, you know. They do a great DuPont overhaul.
Yeah, they put lipstick on a pig.
And you still have?
A pig.
Well, it's not my money. Why do I care?
I agree with Stratton that, Tom, that we ought to go new if we're going to buy one.
So why don't we do this? I'm hearing what Brent's saying, Tider and Tom. What if we do this? What if we bring it back to the next meeting, get some prices of some lease options, some purchase options, and then maybe, what's the other website, Iron Horse or something like that? They're actually getting.
Oh, you've got Equipment Trader, you've got.
There's one that's, I think, that's almost as big as Ritchie Brothers now.
Yeah.
But maybe just look at a couple of those and try to see if you can come up with something that has some reasonable hours, and then try to see if we can look at what we've spent in the past for, you know, for other, you know, on-call or on-demand repairs and stuff, you know, where we've hired other people. And
I can say the last, you know, 5 years, and this, I guess, more of a pat on the back for John and Tracy, but they've developed a really good relationship with these contractors who have, you know, basically been our on-call guys. When something has happened, you know, they're willing to go and help us out. But things are getting really busy, and it's harder to, I mean, we can't. It's harder to get these guys when we have an emergency. You know, they're out on jobs, and they don't have people sitting around as much as they used to.
Well, I would like to offer my time to travel the Ritchie Brother auction sites and come back in about a month with a full report of.
There we go.
I'll start in Vegas, then to Phoenix, then work my way.
There's a good one in Texas too.
Well,
but the other thing you got to look at too is down in Ritchie Brothers, Texas, down that way, they don't have cabs on their equipment down there because they don't have winter. So we need a
four-wheel drive
heater, air conditioner, all the good stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think?
Want a four-wheel drive with a stand, extend the whole
stereo.
The rest of that.
Well, I think we need to. If you look at used, that's fine. I just think you need to make sure, or we need to make sure, there's some kind of warranty with it, because you can spend a ton of money.
Yeah.
You know, I have spent a ton of money putting tractors back together.
Okay. Well, we will do that, John.
Yeah.
You and I and Tom, we need to get together and we'll review those things for the next meeting. I guess aside from that, as far as operations go, we've been swamp deep in the swamp out there to Quitchapa. We've spent a lot of hours the last couple of weeks out there mending the canals and everything else, trying to keep up with that. So that's a lot of everything else has kind of fallen behind. We're getting a little bit behind, but these. Both John and Tracy have spent a tremendous amount of time, and I appreciate them and their hard work and being out there. And I had a great compliment from Bert the other day. He said he's obviously been in the industry his whole life, but he hasn't dealt with an operator like John that cares as much about a system than he does. And so that was good to hear. And Tracy's just as hard a worker, and appreciate him too. But
just so you know, he's a hard guy to please. So
is he, Bert? Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
pulling his hair out the last couple of days. Well, it was 10 days.
That's great compliment.
Yeah, but I was proud of it, actually.
Anything else?
Well, we're proud of you too. You've done a lot. Paul Cousins has been amazing. We've all done what we could.
Yeah.
And it looks good, and I think it's going to, now that we're about out of water, we've probably got the bugs worked out of it.
Hey.
But I think we'll probably be a little bit surprised about how, now that we have it available, how much
it'll be used.
It probably, I'm kind of optimistic about the fact that maybe there's going to be more water going out there than I had kind of supposed, but we'll see.
Well, it's interesting when you drive out there all winter long and you just see the amount of flow that goes out there all winter long.
Well, the other thing, and I don't know, Paul and you were out there with, and I haven't looked at the landscape, but it sounds like we might be able to salvage even some of that summer flood water. Doug, what did you look at that? What does it look like?
When Paul and I were out there, you know, what we're doing is we're creating a lake before it gets to Quitchapa there on Terry Jones' land, you know, just south of where the Cedar City pump house is there for their well off of 56. And it's naturally bermed on a couple of sides, but the pond that is developing is almost halfway between BLM land and Kerry Jones land, where that diversion that we put in is. But when Paul and I were out there, it doesn't look like it would take a whole lot of work to berm in the rest of that and create a lake that would be able to handle the really tremendous flows that we get from Coal Creek sometimes. And it looks like the fall is enough where we could actually channel that through a spillway over to our recharge project on the other side.
You think now, that you think it could be what we would have to do in order to use those summer flash flood muddy 60% solid stuff? Is there enough stuff there that there's enough area that we could turn water in there and settle it out? Because it'll have to settle out for a couple of weeks before you could turn it into our system.
Plenty enough area to do that. And the nice thing is you know, part of that's BLM, so we're talking to federal government. But one thing that idea that I had that we may be able to sell in that regard is the federal government is always looking for migratory bird wetlands. And if we could convince them that during the spring we would create a wetlands out there, we could probably get some money from them to do that.
Well, we need to do is put a sign up there that says all geese fly this way and stay away from the airport.
You know, Paul Cousins got a lot of flack last night about the recharge out at the airport and birds and the FAA and all that sort of thing. And if we created with the BLM partnership a wetlands area out there, then we could make an argument that that would be drawing all the birds away from the airport area and help that situation out as well. But I think there's some real potential to allow us to capture some of those really big floods before it gets to Quetchapon and EDS gets so high that we can't use it. And we can let it settle out there and then spillway it and over to the other side. And then when it does dry up, we could actually blade that and make the berm even bigger to hold more, you know, with time. So I think it would be a real win-win you know, for everybody. And I was talking to Kerry Jones the other day, you know, and he basically said, well, you know, as far as he's concerned, for his purposes, right now that land is really sort of worthless, so he's kind of glad that somebody's found a use for it. So I don't see him as a problem. Now, if BLM said he aren't interested, we could burn that right where the divide is there and still make a pretty good sized pond out of that. And, you know, probably in a good year you could trap enough water in there that you could probably pump out of that for 8 or 9 months of the year, which would be a heck of a way to increase the investment we already have in the recharge.
Yeah.
We've got across the 56.
Yeah.
And you know, if you can develop a wetlands that the BLM would love, and you can recharge more water, and we can let it settle there, and then, you know, keep scraping it out and building up the berm bigger for bigger floods, I don't see that as anything but a win-win for everybody.
Well, I really was intrigued. I mean, I kind of understand, saw what you were doing out there, but anyway.
I can explain it right
here. Kurtz was there, and he's got the map up right there.
So where he's talking, so this, there's kind of a, that's almost, is that man-made? Did we decide that it was man-made through there?
I don't think so.
We didn't decide, but it sure looks like it.
It sure looks like it. So this
that's
is
awful
we're
straight.
Talking about this little basin right here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All the water's been going down. Our diversion structure sits about right there. So we've got that cut that comes down here. The issue is that BLM property comes right through the middle of it. Comes up and then runs through the way is where that BLM. So we can figure out right here as well. It wouldn't take much to get it there. I started downloading the DEM file so I could create a surface and get an idea of what we're going to do. Quite extend out into this area yet. So
this, it's created a natural habitat down there right now. There's all kinds of ducks and geese right here. There's a little bit of a rise here that's preventing this little area, this pond area, to have the water coming in. Basin there.
There's been a lot of wildlife in there already. I don't think it'd be too hard to convince the BLM that they'd make a good migratory bird wetlands area. As long as we got them to agree that when it did sort of dry out, we could go in and scrape the sediment out of it.
So they don't require us to maintain perpetual wetlands there.
Well, yeah. It would have to be an agreement that it would be a natural area
when there's water.
If the water all disappeared, we wouldn't have any requirement to keep it flooded.
Well, it's like I was telling Paul Cousins, if any reservoir you build right now, they usually require you have a conservation pool in there. And I think you could do the same thing with this, where you have a conservation pool where your level that you take it out is at a certain level, and so water will always be in there, basically.
Well, there's going to be years, as you well know, where there's nothing in Wichita, and there would be nothing in there either.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't guarantee that all is going
to
be
water. Yeah, but if you're sending all the water to an area where it's deeper and not as spread out like Wichita, then you're going to have less evaporation, and water will stay in there longer.
Yeah, but, I mean, if we haven't had any good snows in 5 years, it's still going to dry out.
Well, anyway, that's another good idea. I think it would complement what we've already just invested in.
Yeah. It looks like something that's definitely worth investigating further.
Okay. Anything else you want to talk about, Paul?
The only thing I would add is that Paul Cousins did swing by the BLM office today, and they seemed enthusiastic about it. So,
good.
Was there anything else operation? I guess one other thing, check Shawnee Cliffs. Tracy or John, do you have?
What's going on with Bob?
He never got back.
What's going on with Bob Holt deal? Have they given up? Or?
They're still drilling that same hole.
Still drilling this, the same well, which is close to our well. So we haven't got a full update on yet. That's all I have on that.
Okay. All right, next item, we have an option for public comments. Anybody want to make any public comments? Didn't welcome you. This is, for you don't know, this is our engineer's boss, so they're here trying to make sure they're getting their money's worth out of them.
1393.
We're really just here to offer our support for our branch offices down here in Cedar and Richfield.
Well, it's nice to have you here. Anybody want to say anything?
On this thing you were just talking about, my understanding is that when Father Escalante came through here in that part of the valley, there was grass way up here. It was a natural wetland. And you might want to talk to some of the historical people that do that kind of stuff, like Alva Leon Matheson, and get some history of that so that you've got it when you talk to the BLM. You're not creating something new, it's something that was there.
Maybe.
A long time ago. And I think that can be important to those kind of folks.
Yeah, good idea. Okay, next item then, if there are no public comments, is to review, discuss, and consider a water line extension near Iron Springs by Fiddler's Canyon. What's that?
that's the Frank Nichols.
Oh, by Fiddler's Canyon. Right. Fiddler's Canyon, LS.
Is that a different spot?
We I've already considered that. One thing I do want to bring up, well, I'll just let Justin, why don't you update him on county.
We had talked about it in the last early morning meeting. There's a new thing that came out for the cities. The county's already been participating in it, but the cities have all had to participate in this if they don't want to be stuck with a fire that takes off on your land, and all of a sudden, you know, a city has to take care of their wildland fires.
within their limits, and if they escape or if they, you know, go to wildland fire, the city's responsible for all the costs of that, whether the city starts a fire or a private citizen starts a fire. So the state implemented this new program to where every city or town's assessed a certain amount of money, and then they can do work to pay off that, what they're assessed, in the form of fire, wildland prevention, those type of things. And in return for that, if a wildland fire gets away, they do the initial attack, and then after that, the attack is taken over by the state, and there's no fee assessed against the town. So basically all the towns are getting on board, as well as the counties. As we talked about that, we talked to Frank and thought maybe that it might be good for the county to extend that line beyond Frank's property and over to where the dump main station is. I talked to Reed Erickson, met with Reed Erickson twice, and then and his last response was he went and met with the county commissioners, met with two of them. They think that would be a good idea and a benefit to the county. We kind of just did a rough guess that it's about between probably $12,000 and $15,000 to extend it and give them a fire hydrant, a connection right there at the town, at the dump main office there, and gave that information to Reed. He sounds very positive. They don't meet until Monday, but they will vote on it Monday. If they, it sounds like they're, you know, just based on their discussions and everything, that will probably be an affirmative vote, and then they'll take it, you know, all the way down to the county. And now the county doesn't have to go to Frank and try to beg for water out of his tank when they get a fire in the dump, which they get quite a few. So by doing this, they'll have water now accessible, and they'll have water to the, I guess, the dog pounds out there, and they'll have access water to the dog pound as well that they've had troubles with before. So this would be a great benefit to them as well. And the reason I bring up the wildland fire is they can take part of that money and put it towards their contribution.
50%.
As a benefit, and now they just save themselves a whole bunch of money by utilizing that benefit. So
isn't that an interbasin water transfer?
I don't think so.
Well, there's a well there, but Frank Nichols, that was drilled by ARCO, and we were told we couldn't go in and bring that water back into this basin because it's maybe 2,000 yards on the other side.
Yeah, the basin divide is right in there somewhere.
The basin divide, maybe.
So if you can put water that way, you ought to be able to bring water from that ARCO well back
no,
in this
way. Yes, you can. You can do both. We supplied the mine. The mine was in the other basin.
Yeah. Any city brings their water from one side over to the other as well.
You have to take a haircut, though.
But you do.
You have to take out depletion.
In this case, we're talking basically probably for the county an acre foot of water. But the fire prevention is tremendous because you'd now put a fire hydrant down on that end.
That ARCO well is what?
Yeah, we talked about that. That's discussed in that analysis that we studied. Yeah, that was understood, and that's known what you'd have to do. You'd have to take a haircut.
But right now, you know, for what it's worth, it's a good deal.
So you're saying the county will come up with the $15,000 to extend the line?
They would pay to extend the line into the dump station, and then we could provide them a hookup, and then they've got a fire hose, fire protection situation.
That project's in the county, isn't it? Frank's project's not.
Yeah, it's all within the district.
It's not in Cedar City or.
No.
It's out. Yeah. Out by the landfill.
Yeah.
One other thing on that, I don't have a specific number between 8-inch and 12-inch, but we may want to consider upsizing that line, and that would be at our cost. But looking at some other past bids, it's about $4,000 or $5,000 more to upsize that, so it'd be about $20,000 to $25,000. Of our expense, if we want to upsize that.
To a 12-inch line instead of an 8.
To a 12-inch instead of an 8.
Because all he wants is an 8.
All he wants and needs is an 8, yeah. There's possibility of a lot of things that could potentially happen out there in the Neck Desert. Also, the same well that Royce just mentioned, we've talked about putting that into our system or a well out by some of Frank Nichols' property if the mine were to come back on, mm-hmm. to supply that through there. Upsizing line might be something we may want to consider.
What do you know about that well? I know what it is, but
I don't know a lot about that well. I mean, we know what the Weco wells will do. I mean, they're big pumpers. There's the ability to pump a lot of water out there in that basin when you go a little bit further out that way.
We've got logs in that well, and we can see exactly where that fractured course monzonite is. You've got 2,000 feet of it, which you can go all the way through, all the way down into the Jurassic, and the logs show that you've got high resistivities, which means you've got a lot of fresh water that's sitting right there in that well. When we brought it up the first time, we talked about going down and putting a plug, and then pulling up, doing a test, and Gary used a number of $200,000, and you said, well, that's a lot of money, but that's not very much money compared to $200 million.
That's not any. I know you're talking apples and oranges as far as what the water is, and that's water that's in. It's in that other basin. It's in the Burl Enterprise Basin, and it's not new water. So, but it hasn't been test pumped, is what I was getting
at. That's right.
We don't know what the volumes is. I'm talking volumes. We don't know what volume we can get out of there. What we have is what we have. We have a water right for 300 acre feet over there, and that's what we can pump. So, I mean, there may be water there that's 5,000 acre feet, but we can't pump that because we don't have the water right.
But you can transfer the water over.
Yep, if you buy the water right.
Okay, so we already basically approved that water line extension.
Right, yeah.
You're just...
I had the case there was anything else. I put that in the agenda in case there was anything else we needed to consider.
Well, do we need
to... I guess we do. We are potentially considering upsizing that line. Are there any thoughts or comments on that?
What does that do to your pumps that you have to put in to get it up? Does that mean bigger pumps, more money for pumps too?
No, since that's going downhill, it'll just increase it'll decrease the amount of friction loss you have, so you'll increase your pressure potentially.
Yeah, it should increase your pressure, but I know we talked about Wednesday morning having to put booster pumps in it.
That's only if they try and develop up in another area, and at that point we've talked to Frank and have just said if you're going to do development up in an area, you're going to have to put in another tank
at
the developer's cost.
If you have the water to put into a 12-inch line, you're much better putting a 12-inch line in than an 8-inch line and have to go back and do it again. And it'll attract growth to that area somewhere along the way, having that size of a line.
And it'll probably give you your volume for your wild land, your fire protection stuff, because you have to have a lot of volume
and
for that, too.
It creates a lot of storage.
Yeah.
A tremendous amount of storage, a 12 versus an 8.
Well, and the other thing that really you're thinking about is further development out there by that, what do you call that, oil dump and all that?
Fuel farm
place, and so it probably would be a wise thing to do, put the bigger pipe in. Do we want to talk about it some more, or put it on the agenda for next meeting, or?
Or do we need to do it tonight so he can get his pipe by?
Yeah, man, you want to make a motion to do it now. What's your time?
You got the money for it?
Yeah.
Well, we could.
How much more would you say? $25,000 more for us, over and above what Frank's
been. About
around $4 to $5 more a foot.
And he's
installed.
Going a mile.
Yeah.
So it'd be $20,000 to $25,000.
Well, let's just tell Frank that he needs to put in a 12-inch line.
That's cheap. The cost of laying the pipe isn't the pipe.
Do we have impact feet?
It's the excavation of putting it in the ground. So
a 26-4.
Buy me a backup.
That's what your impact fee's for.
That was an impact.
I don't think that's well, I know.
John will dig it with his Kubota, so. Right, John?
What? that's it.
You'll dig it with the Kubota, so you're in good shape.
I got 21 years left.
You saved up to for.
I mean, we have, yeah, we have money too.
I just didn't know if you had some startup impact fees, because that's an expansion of line is a valid reason to have impact.
Right. I mean, we could call it for that.
And that's what I heard your auditor say last week, because you've got some that's coming up. If you don't get it spent, you got to give it back.
No, we don't have any of that. They asked if we were doing that. We expend all of ours at the, just to, for our debt of the infrastructure program.
But if we did that, if we upsized the line at our expense, could we then charge impact fees to Frank as he pay for that, or would he even?
Per connection, he will.
He'd pay it per connection.
As they develop, or as anyone else develops out through there, they pay it.
But as it is now, if he pays the money, we don't get to charge him much.
No, we still will.
We still will.
Yeah, regardless.
He's a.
So whatever additional impact happens out there, you'll be charged the impact fee.
Would he be amenable to putting in, if we said we think we ought to have a 12-inch line, would he?
Have you got enough money in the impact fees to do it?
With the agreement we have now?
Would he cover the cost of a 12-inch instead of an 8-inch? I don't know. What do you think, Justin? Do you think Frank would?
It might benefit him at the end. And
voluntarily, he can do it, but we can't.
Yeah, you can't.
We can't require him to. But voluntarily, I mean, you know, it might be something to where he'd be. It might be worth asking the question.
Yeah. Maybe it's split the cost.
You might still split the cost with him.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure he knows what size of line he's required.
Yeah. He does.
Yeah, he does.
The other option is
tell him how gracious we are if he splits the cost.
Well, what are we? We're already doing a lot to save him some money in taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think somebody want to make a motion. I think that's our disposition. We'd prefer to have that be a.
I'll make the motion to upsize the line to a 12-inch from an 8-inch.
And try to get him to pay for it.
And try, but if not. I think it behooves the district to do it, because if you start, these guys with the engineer degree can figure this out because they're also accountants. But if you figure out inflation over the next several years, the cost of putting another line in plus the inflation will be tremendous over what it will cost today.
As you increase your infrastructure, you're going to loop that. The 12-inch is going to be ideal to loop and that whole thing back part? Around Desert Mound Road from Iron Springs. I talked to Paul about that. It's kind of a no-brainer.
Okay, so you made a motion that we do that and try to get him to pay for it. Is that the end?
Give it our best shot, yep.
So can we repeat the motion how it needs to be stated in the minutes?
One thing I just want to clarify, and again, I don't want to put words in people's mouth, but just you, who's making the motions might want to consider that it's clear that we're asking voluntarily for him to do it. It's not something that we're duressing, putting him under duress.
Absolutely.
In any way. Just to clarify that maybe just slightly further.
Okay, I will move that we upsize the line from an 8-inch to a 12-inch, and we try to get the owner of the 8-inch, see if he will voluntarily, we can ask him to voluntarily assist with the cost difference between the 8 and the 12, and if not, we proceed with purchasing or paying for the additional cost for the 12 so it can get put in the ground.
Can I ask you a question? What about just offering some impact fees? Essentially, this is for an impact. This is an impact. It's an expansion. Offering 3 or 4 connections off of his impact fees, if you'll do it. If he doesn't voluntarily do it one way, then ask him about the impact fees and suggest that, hey, we'll give you 4 impact fees. Makes up the difference for you regardless.
So it'd be the total, if it was 25 grand, would be 7 impact fees.
I figured this at 26. If it's $5 a foot, it's 26.4 is what it would be for a mile.
So is that all right, too?
Yeah.
Something to think about?
No, I can change my motion to, I move what he said and what he said and a little bit of what I said and then however you want to write it, Mandy.
No pressure.
Okay.
Can I just, okay, so I'm just going to repeat it. Got it correct. Board Member Stratton motion to discuss splitting the cost of upsizing the line from 8 inches to 12 inches with Frank Nichols to see if he would, and see if he would be interested in splitting the cost in lieu of impact and connection fees.
Or voluntarily.
Voluntarily.
And if not, we then move ahead.
Thank goodness.
All right. Is that any more questions? Is that a, somebody want to second that?
I'll second it.
Any more concerns or questions? All in favor say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Okay, there you go, Paul.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, next item number 8, review, discuss, and consider the approval of the cross-connection ordinance.
Justin reviewed this. Like he said, he would. We didn't find one thing or another whether or not ordinances are deemed appropriate for Water Conservancy District, but given that everyone does them anyway, we're going to go ahead and do it. So we took out the clause where it talks about the punishment of a Class C misdemeanor. We don't want to be involved with that. What we did is we just said we've got the availability to shut you off until you get it fixed. And if we shut it off, you're subject to our shut-off fees and lock off and unlock fees. So that's where we left it. I feel good about the ordinance. Feel good about the protection that it provides and the protection that it provides our other customers. So
whether it's an ordinance or a engineering standard that we're going to impose, we're calling it an ordinance. I just couldn't find anything that says a district can pass an ordinance or not an ordinance, but I know that the other districts use the term ordinance. So, but either way, it's a restriction on usage, which under an engineering standard, which we have to do. So, there's an obligation to do if you're talking about cross contamination.
Okay, so then we need to have a motion to make approve that ordinance or whatever it is. Anybody who want to feel strongly about that? Maybe I'll reword that. If you have a mild interest in it, just.
I'd make a motion that we approve the cross connection protection ordinance.
Okay. Somebody want to second it?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. All right, next item, the aquifer recharge update and discussion.
Paul, we've kind of already covered a lot of the stuff out at Quitchapaw and some of these other ones. We talked a lot behind your back, so all good.
That's nothing new.
All good in this meeting, though.
I was trying to represent you while you were here.
Was you? All right.
We've talked about the idea of partnering with the BLM and the bird refuge thing, and we've talked about some more of the project over west and the ideas with the state engineer possibly partnering or agreeing to letting us use that water to be irrigated with instead of pumped out of the ground. Curtis, do you have any other update or anything you'd like to bring forward on?
Yeah, so I've been in touch with Clint on the tilting weir. The tilting weir was supposed to ship the day we received the MBADs, which was April 6th, if I recall. Didn't ship. I've been calling the manufacturer, and he's been calling Brad from Rocky Mountain Valve to figure out what's going on. We've been getting the runaround. Finally, they sent him an email. I got a copy of it that they're going to ship the weir on June 1st. So we're still.
So it should take 8 hours to get here.
It should. We should have it the next
day. So we should have
it
June 2nd.
Yes, it should. So that's the case. I'm going to be hounding the manufacturer to get it here from Fresno so we can get that installed, and then we don't have to mess with this as much as we have been, and it'll help regulate the system. As far as the system as a whole, I think we've got it dialed in pretty close. We can get those pumps up and running as far as the amount that it'll handle. We overloaded it for a little bit. That's why we had a lot of those failures and things. But it's running really well.
Is it running now, John? They got to go? No.
Got the drive will be there in the morning.
So as it goes through our lazy river system, this is the satellite bolt from the, that's from the gated pipe. So after it goes through that whole system, we pump it. That's what the water's looking like as it comes out. You taste it. It tastes like dirt.
I was just going to pass this to our chairman because I hear he's got a very strong water. Stomach.
So
I've heard.
Drank Wichita water.
It's cleaning up really well going through that tire system.
I've drunk a lot worse than that.
Paul, did you talk about?
Oh, bye.
Yeah. Did you talk about the idea of maybe having a lake to run some of that high water into? Or?
Yeah.
We did. We looked at.
What do you think? What do you think? I mean, is there? I don't know if there's enough fall from the bottom of the channel outside the diversion structure down. It'd be interesting to shoot that grade and see where it hits on the bank, you know.
Yeah, I think that we kind of decided we needed to get some engineering to see if it's feasible. I think that's a topo.
So I've downloaded the DEM file from the state's website. It's meter resolution, so I'll work with that. That'll give us a feel because, if, like you said, if we can build those berms up high enough, that'll give us enough fall to go right back into our ditch. So I've got all that downloaded and bringing that surface in today.
I don't know how much it would hold, but the lake we've created just from the overflow has been, you know, kind of neat down in there. Did you tell him that Dan called me from the BLM today, Paul?
Yeah, I did.
He was really positive.
They're interested in that.
Oh. I need to go out there and look at it with you, but it sounds like it really augments what we've already, what we have has a limited capacity. So if we can store excess water, which we're going to have from time to time, in a lake and be able to funnel it in there, then that just makes the whole project that much more beneficial.
Did you get a sample to test the TDS in that?
Yeah, did you say SUU went out?
Yeah, the college.
SUU took samples and spectrum tomorrow.
Oh, good.
You mean of the lazy river water?
The lake that I'm talking about, yeah. it's probably 10 or 15 feet above Quitchapaw's bed. And so I'm thinking the TDS, I doubt whether water's ever been in there much. You know,
probably not.
And so I'm just curious to see what the TDS levels would be in that little lake we've created. It may be in, through the eons of time, it got some water in there, but I bet there hasn't been that much.
Probably not.
So.
And it's that much higher than the lake bed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a natural spillway that drops off into the, it may only be 8 feet, 10 feet.
So when has water in the past been in it?
I don't think it ever has until we put it in there.
Maybe 2005, because you can see a watermark on aerial imagery.
The lake got high and it may have backed.
Yeah, 2006, the imagery, it looks like somebody built that, because in 93 it wasn't there.
That lake?
No, but
that earth dam looking
thing. That straight line that we wondered if that was man-made?
You think it is man-made? That
I would say it is. I mean, based on that,
it's looking like it to me.
It sure hasn't eroded bad where the spillway goes, though. I mean, you'd think if it was man-made, it would have washed that out with all the water we run over there.
So if we did use that, and we run the water through our new system with everything, but we get a big gully washer, then we'd have to divert the water into that new lake somewhere.
Well, I think we just build a spillway, and if we had a gully washer, they'd just go over the spillway into Quitchapaw.
Sorry,
wouldn't it?
This is 93 imagery, and you can't. There's nothing really there.
Yeah, there's no straight line there in 93.
You jump to 2004, and it kind of starts forming. Maybe that has washed out, just like that.
I bet you that's from the lake bed being there. It's almost pushed up naturally.
But on this side, that's what doesn't make sense to me.
You knockhead.
Did you talk about doing another channel up high right out of our diversion, Paul?
What's that? Sorry.
Sorry, I missed something, whatever was funny. So, did you talk about digging another channel, just going down into that right out of our diversion structure? Okay.
Yeah, we're kind of show right where.
I don't know. It may not work, but I think it'd be interesting.
Good idea.
Put a lot of water in there.
Yeah, it's a big area. You go out there and you can see it's a decent sized area. So
it's huge.
I'd like to go out and look at it. Anyway, Paul, we appreciate all you've done for this project. You've been heroic, nothing less than heroic.
No, it's just that's what I like to do. It's fun.
It's his hobby.
I don't get to play on a machinery like
Okay, next, are we ready to go on the next?
Just an update on the Phil Schmidt pit. He's started work on that, and he's got a lot of moved a lot of material and riprapped a lot of that. And Curtis and I went and met with him, talking about diversion structure and being able to implement putting in data loggers so we can record how much flow will be going in there. So we've kind of got his design in mind of what he's going to do, and it'll work with what we want to do so we can record and report back to the state.
Paul, we had on our agenda last night to extend Phil Smith's lease on that front pit for 20 years so that he would mine the back one. It was a little bit of a contentious meeting, might I say. Doug, wasn't it? But we had a council member that was concerned about creating bird habitat and wanted to table the whole thing until we work it out with the FAA, and I kind of blew up a little bit. They backed off of that, and I think we'll get – hopefully we'll get the votes to pass the extension next week. I mean, but
so
it's outside –
successfully tabled?
No, it wasn't tabled.
Well, I think after the final discussion, everybody pretty much agreed that extending the lease was an okay thing. The other could follow later.
That's what I felt like, too. Yeah. But I guess we're out of the airport protection zone, but the FAA still wants to know if there's any water within 3 miles of the airport.
Yes, there is.
And so, yes.
There's a creek.
Yes, there's water everywhere. And so, anyway, it's...
So somebody was afraid if we put water in his pit that would cause a bird drift.
Well, this individual, this council person sits on the airport board, and that's been a concern of theirs. But
well, I think we have to be pretty sensitive to that and make sure that they're happy with what we're doing.
We're going
to
put together a proposal, and I asked that be the number one agenda item on their agenda every staff meeting from now until we get an agreement with the FAA so that we can get a deal worked out with them that we can have their blessing. They don't really say yes or no. They just use money as leverage. They just, if you make them mad, they just take $20 million away from you for your airport reconstruction. Mm-hmm. So,
well, as a practical matter, if we put water in there, it'll be just like if we put water in that other, only it won't pond up. If we put water in his pit, it won't be there for a week.
That pit will drain so fast.
At the most, maybe a little bit for a month.
Mm-hmm. The western pit, we've watched a ton of overburden, and it's draining like crazy.
Yeah, right across the street, across the freeway where you put in those sediment basins. Every time I drive over the freeway there's geese in it. So, I mean, yeah.
Well,
they don't like everywhere.
They don't like those. The FAA don't like those either. So, but it's, you know, let's drain Lake on the Hill. Is it within 3 miles? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Right?
It would be. It sounded like the biggest thing is the FAA wants to see some sort of wildlife mitigation plan in place. And if they know that you're aware of it and you've got some plans in place, like, you know, shooting off cannons or whatnot to keep them from congregating, then even though they may not like it, they'll be okay with it. Since the city doesn't have any sort of plan like that, that's why Paul wants them to have that on their agenda for every staff meeting until they get one.
Well, that's very, very good. Let's just keep plugging away.
That's all
Thank
I have
you,
on
Paul. Okay, aquifer balance and water development project, District Well Number 2. Where are we at with Grimshaw's?
So, I've been harping on Aaron, calling him. They had equipment go down, and so they were trying to resolve that and trying to get to a couple other jobs. Talked to him yesterday, and I talked to him just before the meeting, just to say, give me an update because we're anxious to get this going. I don't know why we couldn't get equipment out there. He says that they milled a tool to get down and clean out that swab a little bit more, so when they force the concrete grout through it, it'll go through the perforations there and then encase that whole thing. They milled it wrong, so they had to do it again earlier this week. They promised they would be on site tomorrow morning to grout that tool in and be there first thing Monday, start getting the drawdown and pump test done Monday, Tuesday.
Thank you.
Did they give dates on the Monday and Tuesday or just?
He said next Monday and Tuesday.
So next Monday he'll tell you the same thing.
Probably, the next one. The 3 weeks since he's been here.
Only 3 weeks.
You know, and we've driven out every day and logged that they were there last Friday.
Kind of tells us who not to let them in.
They were there Monday this week, and they've not been back out.
They'd have it done.
Okay, next thing is subsidence monitoring. Is there anything we need to talk about that, Paul?
No, we've been, as much as we wanted to put in monuments, we've been...
busy.
We've been busy.
Okay. Next item, number 12, Wawa Pine Valley. Anything we need to review or consider about that?
Probably not for this meeting, no.
Okay, next item is water conservation. Doug, have you got anything you want to say about that?
Before you go over to Doug, I have one question for you. Have you had got your pivot go up and going? Out there that has your drip lines on it?
Yes.
How's it looking? Is the ground wet?
And Chad Reed's got a couple of water meters, you know, sensors. Out in my middle of my field, it's on one side or the other. I mean, it doesn't look any different
than anywhere else.
Either place.
How much do you think that'll save, Brent, with going from the spray to the bubblers? Do you think that's?
I don't.
Do you think 20%?
I don't know.
Really? Well, do you got a way to measure it then? Or?
Well, yeah. Chad Reed put some sensors, you know, some moisture sensors in the soil, so he can.
What about the water flow part of it?
Well, what do you?
Anything to measure how much water is actually being used?
Well, I mean, the water flow is the same. I mean, a pivot, you can calculate exactly how much water is going through each one of the nozzles. Essentially, what they did was between the last tower and the next to the last tower, they put these bubbler deals. I had like 13 13 nozzles on that span. They came and took those off and put 30 in there, but they put them right down about this far above the ground.
Right, but what's their flow rate as opposed to the...
It's the same. They calculated it should be the same flow as there was in my original system.
It just doesn't evaporate. Yeah, hopefully, you're just capturing the evaporation, right?
I think that's what they're trying to do is just to eliminate evaporation. And
well,
so
it's less susceptible to the wind, which we never get to see.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to work in a cornfield, though.
It'll be interesting to see how it happens. As a practical matter, that's going to be really expensive to put that. I mean, you're basically quadrupling the number of those $15 a piece nozzles on your pit. I think it'd be quite expensive to install it.
The thing is, though, if you figure the ag uses 80% of the water, hey, Paul, and you multiply, and you if you say you could save 30%, that makes up our deficit right there.
Yeah, you're between 4,000 and 6,000 acre feet. If every farm, you know, if that's the savings, 80% of the water, that's 4,000 to 6,000 acre feet that potentially you could save.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be interesting to see.
And as far as the cost goes, I mean, I really wonder if this worked. You got to think an entity like the Board of Water Resources would help fund that.
Exactly. There incentives, that would be one incentive that'd be worth it. I mean, that's a lot of money.
There was another system, and maybe you saw it when we were at the water concert, the water convention, this outfit where they drag a tube right on the ground. And that saves a tremendous amount of water.
What happens if your pivot doesn't go round and round? What if it turns, and how do you do that?
Yeah, that's the
question.
Is that
the kicker?
What do you do when you want to cut the
other way? You're going to have a little dead spot at the end, aren't you?
What do you do when you want to cut the hay? When the kid runs through the hall.
Run out there and straighten them out. Every time the pivot changes direction.
I don't know. But, I mean, this guy... Of course, they're using these kind of drastic things down in Texas and Oklahoma where they're mining that Ogallala Aquifer down to where they don't have any water. They got to do something. They even have more incentive than we do. But
I think one of the biggest deficiencies we have in that particular regard is the fact that, you know,
80 to 90% of our water around here is used for agricultural purposes. There are systems and methods out there that would allow a farmer to be more efficient, but they're very costly. And because of that, no farmer's going to jump into that. So until the state recognizes that and comes up with some sort of funding and incentive or grant program that will help those farmers make that transition, nothing's going to change.
Well, I think that's a good point. I think that we may be in that movement right now, because water resources in the past has been, you know, project-based and funding projects. And this last year, they finally put quite a bit of money into new metering and conservation type things. And you know, probably for the better of a decade or more, they've put a lot more money into conservation. And so I think this is, you know, there's more of a dynamic shift towards conservation and money towards conservation than in the past.
You know, as far as I'm concerned, I would love to see a letter from this board to the state stating exactly that our view is, if we're going to move ahead on conservation, especially for farmers, the state needs to be investing in grants and avenues that will allow those farmers to do that, because they're never going to be able to do it on their own.
Have you and your conservation things you state, has anybody gotten serious about trying to put drip irrigation in public parks and that sort of thing?
Well, the problem in a public park is the amount of traffic that you get and the compaction that you get when you're using any sort of buried type system.
Well, yeah, I mean, but they're buried. Well, anyway, I just wonder if you.
But you know, I mean, I know there's moves afoot in some areas, and they tested a lot of in-ground drip irrigation for alfalfa, and that sort of thing. But the cost of the initial installation is not going to be within a farmer's means to do. So if the state wants to really get serious about water conservation for the biggest user, which is farmers, they need to start coming up with some programs and grants that will allow those people to get on board and do it.
That's good for your eyes.
Well, and I think there are some, you know, the federal, the NRCS, federal people, they do have grants for those kinds of things, and they're moving that way.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, the state is always at the point where, you know, we control water within the state, all right? And they want to keep that as a state-run type thing. And, you know, everybody's very sensitive to getting the feds involved in any program, all right? But if we're going to do that, then the state has to be willing to step up and help those farmers make those transition changes to better manage the use of water. As that, you know, I mean, the biggest user that we've got, and we've pretty much ignored them from the conservation point of view. And along those lines of, you know, conservation, I consider everything that we're doing as far as recharge into our aquifer as water conservation as well.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I do know that it's the 24th, right, Paul, that DEQ is going to be down? They're going to be at the council meeting.
Yeah, there'll be at the council meeting on the 24th, and we're going to talk about the effluent project of getting that water back in. We're going to talk to him about nitrate levels and some of those things.
Good.
Start planning that.
Good.
That's the next push.
That's where we're hung up was DEQ.
Well, we just want to get – we don't want to invest a whole – like your idea of recharging at the airport in leach lines. You know, we wouldn't want to invest a whole bunch in infrastructure and then find out we're polluting our groundwater with nitrate levels and have to bag the whole thing. So we want to just research it carefully and
good.
Do it right.
Brent, I have a question. If you're pumping 30% less water, are you pulling 30% less power?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if a guy's pulling 30% less power, how many years would it take to pay for those water nozzles? Probably three?
I don't know. You'd have to calculate it, but it would be a factor, yeah.
Are they that expensive?
You know, I mean.
I would hope that Chad is coming up with those kinds of answers.
How many?
Yeah,
30?
I think that's why they're, you know, on this experiment here, I'm not the only one. They've got five or six of them around the state on different kinds of crops.
So you have to go closer to the business model.
That's good.
Okay, next item, number 14, groundwater management plan and local water right changes. What's that? What do we need to talk about that?
The groundwater management plan committee.
That Joe is the chairman of.
That Joe is the chairman of, yes. That Spencer and Paul and Brent are members of.
Yeah. Well, in our last meeting a couple of weeks ago, we basically decided to write a letter to the state engineer and tell him that we need more direction of what we can and can't do. One of the things that's happening is they're allowing change applications from surface water to groundwater, and that adds to the depletion, so it's counterproductive to what we're trying to do. So we're working, and he's agreed to come down and meet with us and talk with us in July.
State engineer?
Hmm? Yeah, state engineer.
State engineer's going to come talk with
staff.
That group in July.
In our July meeting.
Yeah, July 13th. Joe, have you, there's been some response. Have you decided whether or not you're going to cancel that meeting in June?
I don't know if they... What kind of response have you had?
Three cancels and one don't care.
I think we ought to just postpone it and tell them to be prepared to meet a little longer in July so that we don't cut him short.
I just want to say that for Royce because he attended the last one.
Yeah.
It's just likely we probably won't meet June for that groundwater management.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We appreciate your help, Joe, on that.
I guess one other thing of kind of public record, there was a decision and a request for reconsideration. The state engineer did reconsider a water right change application for a water right in Braffitts Creek that we protested. And he changed within the order and said he was going to, where previously it said that the applicant had to monitor and record the amount of water that was diverted from his diversion structure. He took that out of the order and basically just making them monitor downstream where they apply the water, which doesn't make any sense because there are a lot of tributaries along the way, including Coal Creek, where they could basically monitor and forge or claim that they're receiving water from the Braffitts Creek source. And it wouldn't be from that source. Water has never flowed from Braffitts Creek down to that area, and according to the affidavits, over some of them 60, 70 years. So I don't understand the state engineer's reasoning on that, but aside from that, the other things that we want to talk about that would be in closed session.
It's probably been
the rest of that's all public.
Prior to 1950.
Okay. Next item then is... Board members report, any reports that any of you have, report anything? Next item, engineering report. Have you got anything to report?
Yeah, so I've been talking with Paul Monroe. What I've got put together is kind of a project tracking on an Excel sheet, Google Docs that we're gonna share. It'll have a kind of a task assigned, that type of thing, a projected date of finishing. So like with the Scrimshaw well, we'll go through and as we try to get milestones, it'll have an idea of when we estimate it'll be completed, actual completed date, and then a link to any of our field notes, tracking notes, any conversations we have. We're going to start documenting all of those. So if you've got any questions, you can pull those up and read those. So we'll make those available to you.
Brent, I do have one question. On the recharge at Phil Smith's pit, that'll be a district project, right? We'll want to... I think I'd insulate the city a little bit from the FA, we still could be, they could still come down on us, but if it's not the city doing it, I think it ought to be under our name.
Yeah, I guess I did fail to mention that. We invoiced, and thanks to those that are participating, but we did invoice the county, the city, SUU, and Iron County. They all agreed to participate in that in conjunction with us, and so Phil's, it'll be around $13,000, but each party's going to put in $2,500. We'll put in.
Is that what he said we owe him? Is $13,000?
No, 12.5, and then we're going to pay him a little bit more for the work that he did and the
well,
guys
he,
that
he had a loader, Phil Smith, he had a loader and an operator out there for 2 days, and that Mark was running the dozer for 2 days. And I don't know if Wheeler, I just assumed they were going to donate both days because he kept another day, but I'm not sure. He was going to try to talk him into it, and I think, so I don't know. But we need to kind of keep an eye on that, make sure. Phil tends to be too generous sometimes. And so we need to just make sure that he's made whole. I mean, he's very generous.
Yeah, I certainly think that's true. We need to.
So,
and I'm fine with that. Yeah, we should compensate him.
I mean, when I asked him how much it charges to cut through the Coal Creek channel and install all that, he said, "Oh, I'll just donate it." And I said, "No, you're not." I mean, that guy has donated over the years so much stuff that if you knew what he does behind the scenes and donates, I said, "Phil, you got to charge something. You're going to go broke." So.
Well, you did tell him Western Rock that gave him the right of way, right?
Yeah. Well, did I mention that? So Western Rock, there's a little sliver of land that goes down to a point. I don't know if can you bring that up?
Yeah.
And real quick. But right I've Derek, what's up? Right it just goes the through the channel and into the bank. And Derek with Staker, he was out of the country and finally got a hold of him, and he gave us verbal permission, but I talked to Brinkerhoff this morning.
It's like right here, isn't it?
Yeah, it's right there. There's just a sliver that goes across into that bank. And Phil would like, so Phil is riprap. He's already got this all riprap right here, all the way down this corner. It's real, it's not very steep. But he wants to cut right up through here. And their Staker's property comes like this. And so I talked to Brinkerhoff and about maybe having Steve Platt, because it's contiguous with the county, is having the county either buy that little piece to take it off their tax rolls and or give them some kind of tax credit. It's not worth a lot. You know, they probably wouldn't want a lot for it, but just to make it contiguous to the county, and then we'd just own it, or the county would own it, so we can use it.
Yeah, that'd be good. So that they, is just so that it takes Staker out of the mix.
Yeah, so they don't have to worry about it. So they would just cut that, or that where that point comes down, they'd just cut it off right there. That was what I talked to them about.
So what's his, he's already got part of the work done. What else needs to be done? Is that, I mean, I don't.
He just got to cut through the channel. Just
put
cut
in
through
his, put in the head gate.
See, well, that'll be good. We're about out of water this year, but at least it'll be ready for another year.
Yep.
Okay, very, very good. That finishes our agenda, except for a closed session. We need to have a closed session.
I wonder what the heck happened.
Yeah, just briefly.
Okay. Well, thank you all for being. I'll entertain a motion from the board to enter a closed session.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you all.
Thanks, guys.
See you later.
Good night.
See you guys.
I'll have that up and running tomorrow.
How'd that spillway? Did you get it patched?
Yeah, we got it patched.
Is it going to hold, you think? Who knows?
Oh.
Was it bad?
Yeah. We'll be praying a lot on that.
Yeah. Say an extra prayer. That's all.
Well, the snow and the cold weather firmed it up, didn't it?
Firmed up my back.